all fairly familiar with the negative effect shorting on sleep can have. There's probably more than a few of you out there nodding as furiously as your sleepy bods will let you right now. New research out of Swinburne Uni suggests we're setting up kids to fail by imposing school hours that don't work well with the natural sleep patterns of teens. There's even a term for it, social jet lag. The nodding probably just stepped up a little. It's a term I'm certainly going to adopt. To explain social jet lag and how it can be easily taken out of the study burden, I'm joined in the phone now by Swinburne Uni's Dr. Ben Bullock. Good morning, Doctor.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Right. Social jet lag explains so much about my personal performance over the years, but the focus here is on preteens and teenagers. What is social jet lag?
So social jet lag actually came from psychology, really, working with chronobiologists or people who work with sleep and circadian rhythms. And essentially what it is, it's a social jet lag is a bit of a misalignment between your natural biological rhythms and the time that you have to get up to, say, go to work or go to school. If there's that misalignment, it can make you feel that sort of jet laggy feeling, you know, that sort of just feeling a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit out of sorts. And of course, that has consequences for your work performance in the morning in particular. But also your school performance, your academic performance. One of the things we do know is that quite naturally, developmentally, as young people are growing, they tend to gravitate towards later bedtimes and later wake times. It's actually a normal part of development, and then eventually you then return to your normal sort of what we call normal earlier bedtimes and earlier wake times. But during the sort of the preteen through to the late teenage years, there's definitely a delay, which of course doesn't sit well or doesn't fit well with the early times we have to get up for school. And this, of course, has, as I said, has consequences for someone's ability to focus at school, particularly in the morning. You know, you might have that sort of foggy mind, that inability to concentrate, that sort of inability to pay attention to the teacher. And so this is where we see social jet lag being of interest to school start times.
Is all sleep the same? Can it be cured by going to bed earlier?
Well, this is the thing. I think those of us who remember the teenage years, and look, it's important to know that not everyone experiences social jet lag. It's just that we see it more often in younger people, as I said, because of those natural developmental, those biological changes that occur in the preteen to teen years. You can try to go to bed earlier. But biologically, your body is not ready to go to sleep earlier in the evening. So you have this kind of catch-22 of trying to go to sleep earlier, not being able to get to sleep because your body's not ready for sleep, and then having to wake up earlier. So what you're doing is going to bed later and getting less sleep, which is a problem in itself. You know, we all know the problems with sleep deprivation that that causes. But you also have this misalignment, which is this specific problem of social jet lag.
Are there secondary schools around the world that already use hours that are more appropriate to the teenage circadian rhythm?
There are examples around the world. In fact, I can my own experience as a high schooler in the 1990s here over here in Victoria is. We had a later start time for particularly, I think it was the year, from memory, it was the year 10s to 12s. We started about 10:45 and finished at 4:45, which I think, you know, a lot of your listeners are probably thinking that would be awesome. And then the younger years started a little bit earlier, around 8:15 and finished at, I think, 2:45 or something like that. So I benefited from a model that that had that sort of later start time, and my friends did. Personally, I didn't notice much of a difference. I'm not necessarily a late person, an evening type person that has struggled to go to bed at go to sleep at a normal time at night. But I know some of my friends really appreciated that change. One of the problems they had, though, and speaking to teachers later on, was they couldn't sustain that model because it really put a lot of pressure on the teachers to be there for extended hours and for longer periods. So it really extended their workday. So, you know, theoretically, it was a good idea. Practically, whether it works is really up to the individual school.
It's really just the application of it. We were talking about just difficulty with staffing here.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Finding staff to almost turning teachers into almost shift workers, if you like, which is not part of the normal teaching model, as you know.
Is it possible to rejig the hours or the contact points that teachers have? I mean, how open to change of hours is the actual education fraternity, the teachers that are doing the heavy lifting?
Look, to be honest, I think that each school has their own, they can make their own decisions. I don't think there's anything legislating schools to start at certain times or finish at certain times. So it's really up to a school to really get everyone on board. If that's the model that you want to adopt, is to get everybody on board and get them behind this model of delaying school start times and pushing the benefits of that for students, but also pushing the benefits of that for staff. So that would be, it's really an exercise in evidence-based marketing to your teaching staff, I guess. But the other thing that schools have done over the years to manage this problem is not to keep the school start times the same, but maybe push some of the more heavier thinking type work into the afternoon hours. So rather than sort of getting into class at 9 o'clock and going straight into requiring students to attend and to their full attention and you know, really concentrate, really just start off with some really nice gentle activities to start the day, and then maybe really hit the hard stuff harder sort of later in the morning through to the afternoon. And that might be a way for a school to manage these issues better rather than sort of changing the whole timing pattern of the school.
Well, you've said we have to include everybody. What sort of reaction have you had, first of all, from parents who were probably looking for a little bit of quiet time of an evening? Right. And number two, what sort of reaction have you had from students?
Well, okay, so this is the big thing. I haven't spoken about the practicalities of this are far more complicated than the science. I think that's the thing we need to remember. The science is one thing, the practicalities are the other. And, of course, the other thing to remember is that, you know, parents might have one child in year 12 that needs to start at 10:45 and finish at 4:45, and then have one child in year 7 that starts at, you know, 8:30. How do they manage that? So that's it's a whole school environment change and a whole school philosophy change and bringing people on board, not only the teachers, but also the parents and the families. In terms of students, what we see is, I made a bit of a sweeping statement before that teenagers generally go through the same sort of process of later sleep times and that sort of thing during the teenage years. I can speak of experience as someone who didn't go through that. So it doesn't affect everybody. It's just that it's more common in teenagers to have a later sleep time and later wake times than it is at other age groups. So I imagine you'd probably find about half of students would absolutely love it. The other half would say, well, it eats into my after school, practice time for soccer or whatever. So again, it's one of those things that the selling points need to be very clear, and then the reasons for why something is being done would need to be, if you're going to make a whole school attempt at this, that there's some really hard work that needs to be done there.
Ben, it certainly sounds like, you know, with a little bit of fine-tuning, this could actually give us a little bit more bang for our education buck.
True. Yep. As I said, people who are able to get a full night's sleep after a late night will perform better academically. We also know from research that people who are students, young people who are sort of more your evening types that have those really late nights and have to get up early in the morning, they tend to consume more caffeinated soft drinks to try and get themselves going. We also tend to be smokers as well, again just to try and lift their level of stimulation early in the day. So there's also broad health implications, not only academic implications as well, of better aligning young people's biological rhythms with the external world.
Oh, man. Well, Ben, anything that brings on a good, solid night's sleep, I am all for.
We love our sleep.
Dr. Ben Bullock, thank you so much for joining us this morning to just talk about this study.
Thank you, Jeff. It was interesting, and look forward to talking about it more as people become more aware of this sort of science, this circadian science.
Yep, we're all for sleep, mate.
That's it.
Thank you, Ben. That was a Swinburne psychology lecturer, Dr. Ben Bullock, on the line.